yes, you know, there was so much to do, so much deliverance. For 2 days, we did nothing but just to pray for the people who wanted deliverance, and so many people were delivered. It's just such a marvelous thing that God is doing. But you cannot deliverance. You, when you pray for a person, there's got to be something more. You cannot, for instance, a person couldn't just pray for you and make you perfect. No matter how many devils cast out of a man, he himself is going to have to take unto himself that fullness which Jesus Christ is offering us. So I want you to turn your Bibles with me to Isaiah 52, and just that first, I want to talk to you just as the Lord would let me hear about the church, the awakening of the church. The church must wake before Jesus comes. In other words, Jesus is not going to come upon a sleeping church. The church must wake. And the greatest sign of the coming of Jesus Christ that we see is that we are awakening. People are coming alive to truth. They don't want the wishy-washy thing anymore. You don't have to go to people and say, come out of your church. Don't go to that place anymore. People just get tired of it, and they want something more. They want life. You see, the way God made the animals, each animal will eat a different type of food, and that food is life to him. It gives him life, gives him strength. Each human being must feed in the natural. And it amazes me the difference in human beings in eating, in food. I have seen men down in the bush, down in Jamaica, big muscular men, and they work all day like machines. They just keep working all day. They may be working a hoe, weed in the ground, or working a shovel, and they keep working all day. And at midday, they will stop and they will get a long jug of lemonade and a piece of bread, and they go back to work. And they come home and they eat things that you would say, no, sir. You know, you wouldn't eat that. That couldn't keep you for a day, you die. But he comes home and he eats maybe some rice and a piece of fish and some green vegetables, and he goes to bed and wake up next morning with his muscles bulging and go off to work again. Might take a jug of tea and something else. And I said, but wait, how could this man live on this? And this other man couldn't live on this. The American must get some good, rich food, and you know. And when I look at the difference, I begin to see a wisdom from God. And God was saying that that man's body gets trained to it, so that his body extracts something out of that food that your body couldn't get. Amen. So you have one person able to get certain things out of one food, and the other one couldn't get anything out of that food. And we say, well, if we apply to the spiritual, what is happening is that God is feeding his people so that they begin to wake. And when they wake, they don't want the food they were used to over there. They are getting accustomed to a new food. Some of them never heard it before. I've spoken to people who never heard the end time message of God, And I said, that is what I wanted all along. He said, my soul was longing for that. That is the very thing they identify Christ. So that the table of showbread that is being spread for us is a different table than was spread down the road. And I can show you from scripture. Let me read this verse before I go into that. It says, awake, awake. First verse, chapter 52, Isaiah. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Praise be to God. God is calling to a church, and to a church that is holy. Now, a church cannot be holy without the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You see what I mean? We're not holy because we get up every morning and pray. We're not holy because we do this or because we do that. Because we have the Holy Ghost. And those who follow the Holy Ghost become absolutely holy. Do you believe you can be like Jesus Christ? Right now and here? It sounds hard, but yes. You have been. You have been like Jesus Christ. Anytime you obey the Holy Ghost, you are like Jesus Christ. You may not be like Him. You may not be like Him, but you are like Him. Hallelujah. God says that it is time for the church to awake, because it is time for her to put on her wedding garment, their beautiful garment. You know, I think there'd be something in Brother Ron if we should really look up this word that they translate here, beautiful garment. I guarantee it's talking about the wedding garment. Put on your wedding garment. It's time for the marriage. He said, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Amen. He said, when you get up, he said, shake yourself from the dust. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise. You know, the dog especially, they love to shake themselves. They lie down there and they get up and they shake themselves. And if they are wet and you are nearby, you get up splashing. Hallelujah. That's a picture I see. Somebody got to shake off all the dirt, everything that is low down, everything that is dusty. Get out of it and get it out of you. That's what he's saying. He said, arise and sit down. Then get up and sit down. Praise be to God. Amen. O Jerusalem, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves to naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money.
Glory to God. Yes.
Let us stop preaching the do-it-yourself gospel.
Yes.
Let us stop telling people, do this, do that, do that. Let us just tell them, trust God.
Amen.
Just believe God. If I want to be holy, I can't make it by trying. Did you know that? I can't try and become holy. I have to believe God. But God said, Abraham, believe God, and it was counted for righteousness.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Jim believed God, and it was counted for holiness. You don't call him holy, Jim. But all of us will have the same holiness. Oh yes. The Bible is very explicit. in directing us to God. A people are coming into perfection. A people are coming into holiness, not by our own effort. Not because we are the end time people. Not because we know more than those people down the road. The tendency amongst us is to be rising up for lifting up the pride. 40 years, and I've seen men, mighty men of God, fall. And you know when they fall, they don't know. You think a man knows when he falls? If you see me fall, you tell me. God, I don't know. When Samson, his head was shaved as clean as a penny whistle. The lady took it to raise him. Can you imagine? See my bald head? Can you imagine the whole of the head that shine as that? Praise be to God. See, I overcome it. That's why I can preach about it. Amen. As shine as a penny whistle, she cleaned off his hair. And that hair was the symbol of the covenant between him and God. He and God agreed, you're going to wear your hair long as a symbol of the covenant between me and you. And the 7 locks of his hair, he told her, she cut it off. And the Bible said, she caught him and said, Samson, wake up, get up. I'm talking about the church now, you know. The church in the harlot's house. The church in the harlot's house. And the harlot will shave him. He jumped up. The Bible said he shook himself. As at other times, rush out to battle, but they held him, and the power was gone. When a man falls, especially men of God, they don't know. They encourage themselves because they get the same miracles. Blessed be the man who God take away the miracles from him. You hear me? If God take away the miracles from him, he's not fallen. God only teasing him to come on a little arm, shake himself from the dust, and to get up. Thank God. But when he still is just as mighty, you know what I've seen? It's hard to believe, but it's true. I've seen a man fallen and get more powerful. Fallen and get more powerful. Well, some say it is the devil that give him the power, and to tell the truth, I don't know. Some puzzles are here with us, we don't know, and really it's not even necessary for us to know, except to know that, oh God, keep me from being like that. Because when the man shook himself, the first thing that Harlot Church did was to knock out his eyes. And so he couldn't see anymore. He was blinded and he was weakened. Praise be to God. And so God is calling to a church to arise. Let's go over here and read another verse here in chapter 60. And this one says, arise. This one says, rise up and sit down. I mean to say, relax in your God. Don't jump up and start get a busybody. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. And come on now, everybody organize. Get your line. You see, that's busybody. He said, rise up and sit down. Now this one said, arise, shine. Chapter 60. For thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and great darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Praise God. So God is saying here to get up. If you turn your Bibles with me now to Matthew chapter 25, and we take another look at from a different angle, you'll notice that I'll give you one scripture many, many times, but every time it comes from a different angle. You look at the thing from above, you look at it from below, you look at it from the side, left or the right or the back or the front. So now let's look at this one, the same chapter that we have read so many times, from a different angle. That's chapter 25, and we look at that one verse, that they all slumbered and slept. And they all slumbered and slept. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. We're all guilty of having been sleeping. You know, we had a meeting in Canada, and it was extraordinary. God blessed us extraordinarily. But I didn't feel extraordinary. I felt very low, very repentant. I feel like falling on my face and begging God pardon for not being more like Jesus Christ. Many people were blessed. Many went away rejoicing. Many came from miles around the mountains, way up in British Columbia there, near Calgary, some coming from all over the mountain. People traveled 300 miles just to come to that meeting. And they went rejoicing and satisfied. I wasn't satisfied. You know what? We're just touching the tip of the iceberg. All of us. All of us. You here, every individual person, is greater than the greatest prophet of the Old Testament. You are mightier than David, but you don't know. The Lord said, because you sell yourself for nothing, I'm going to redeem you for nothing. You, if we just start to believe God, some dreadful, terrible, and wonderful things are going to come to pass. You just start believing God. The problem is that God has given us so much and we have taken so little. Oh yeah, it's like spreading a table and somebody come and doesn't have the appetite and pick a lovely roast beef and everything is there wasted. God wants us to dig in. God wants us to dig in and eat. Amen. And don't call yourself outcast. Amen. You're children of the kingdom.
That's right. Amen.
If you sin, then repent.
Amen.
Oh yes. It is God that prevents a man from sinning. Oh yes. It's God that prevents a man from sinning. It is not the man's own power in which he is delivered from the power of sin.
Amen.
So the one thing God requires of you, when he delivers, you don't willfully go back.
Yeah.
Some people say, well, God will deliver me, so let me just jump back in it. Don't willfully go back. God is waking the church now. You believe that.
Yeah.
And some thoughts will come to you that never came to the church before. Just thoughts. God will begin to flood the people with glory. Yes. Don't be afraid or ashamed to get up and say, well, I have a little nugget this evening. Oh yeah. The elders will rejoice to see the backbenchers and the little kids get up and say, well, you know, the Lord been putting something on my heart and I want to say ABC. And I tell you something. Some of these little ABCs, they are the keys that open the big old door. Little bit of key. Little key. opens a big door. And God is bringing his power to bear upon the church at this time. It's for those of us who can accept it. We will get it in righteousness. We will get it in holiness. That is, if you have bad intentions, you are going to get the other thing out there. I will be honest with you, I don't know what it is, for I see it working wonders. But the men and the people are not living the standard of Jesus Christ. Do you know what the gifts of the Spirit are given for? I wonder if anybody can tell me. Why did God give gifts to the body? Let me hear one over there. To edify the church. One, okay. For the perfecting of which saints? Come on now, brother. You're giving me the right answer what I want to hear. Eh? No, no. You give me an answer. Basically, the answer is correct. But I want to be more specific. You see what happened? This saint has a gift. And this saint come and lay hands on this saint and pray for him, and he gets healed. Now, which one get the glory? You see what happened? The gift of the Spirit that God put in you is to perfect you. It blesses the church. It glorifies Jesus, but it does something to you. Because in order to use the gift, you have to open up to God. Oh, you'd like to hear some of those prayers before you pray for a person. Oh, Lord God. Help me now, Lord. Oh, good. Just let this thing work for you. Amen. You're opening up to God. Oh, yeah. You're going home and you're agonized. Oh, yes, you're agonized. Oh. Lord, don't put me to shame now. You go home and you're agonized before God. You're giving me a gift, Lord God, let it work. Because I am not working it, it's you working it. Amen. And if you go in fear and trembling, knowing that this God is the worker of the gift, it work.
Amen.
Yes, it will work. And look how many gifts sitting down in these benches. Hallelujah. Amen. You ever tried out what God has given you? Do you realize that it retards your growth when you don't function? When God would have you function, but God put one word in your mouth. Get up and say the one word. Our problem is that when we get one word, we say three. You get up and say the one word. Oh yeah. If you sit down in your seat and you hear one sentence, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. You get right up and you say, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. And if you didn't get another sentence, lost. Sit down. Somebody else is going to bring the next line. If you have to begin to understand what God is waking a sleeping giant. I'm not saying you are the giant, but you're part of him. You might be just a toenail, you know, or a little hair of the head. But if that's the way it works, it's just a marvelous thing I'm seeing here. An army marching. Something terrible. You're going through the bush. You get orders to get up and go to point B. And you're going through the bush. And you don't know what's going on. You suspect that there's an offensive arm. But you are only one little part, and you don't see anything going on in your part. Amen. Sometimes you are the very spearhead and you don't know. Oh yes, the general all planet of. Got your paper there. And it is required of a soldier to do his duty. All you know, I'm going to do what I have to do I don't care what else happens. I am being directed by it. So God is moving his army forward. Remember, the scripture tells you that the devil will beat the church and beat the church and beat the church until the end of days come. Then power will be given to the saints of the Most High to take the kingdom. Now, the first piece of the kingdom that is being taken is the piece in here. You know it's being taken when you find that you are having more power over your own body. Did you understand that? This is the way you know that the kingdom is being taken. That whereas you were being kicked about by temptations, by pressures, you find that you ride over pressure much easier. How are you going to learn to ride over pressure? Can anybody give me that answer? By getting hit by pressure. So you say, oh God, why are you doing this to me? Why am I doing that to you? That you may overcome. If God didn't let Delilah shave off Samson's hair and pluck out his eyes and tie him up with rope. Imagine a man like a wild beast. Samson never been tied in his life, never been beaten, never been touched by anybody. The Spirit of God come upon him and he leap off the gate of a city and walk away with it. Can you imagine a man for the first time in his life that tie him up with a rope and he can't move? What a funny feeling that is. Well, God is at this time, the hair is growing back on the church. Oh yes, the hair is growing back on the church. And the church is beginning to feel herself. Yes, that's the first thing start happening. Samson start feeling, he held the you know, they had him going around like a mule pushing a grinder around, and he found out that he was pushing the grinder much easier. Take his little finger and he was going around. Something is happening. Something starts happening, eh? Something's going on. I'm getting more life. Praise be to God. Go home and praise God for more life, that you're getting more life.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. And it seems that the church is awakening. He said, at midnight there was a cry made, behold the bridegroom come. But before midnight, the church got up. The church awoke. While the bridegroom tried, they all slumbered and slept. And then the cry came, and then they woke. Now personally, I can see that the people of God are coming to their senses. Now, we're talking about waking. You know, waking, when you sleep, your faculties sleep. You can dream. You can see heaven. You can have all the glories in your dream, but it's not real. It's dream. When you wake up in the morning, if you were in the mud sleeping, you wake up same place in the mud, although you were soaring in the sky in your dream. Amen. But what's happening now is that the faculties were asleep. Can this work on the other side? Your faculties were asleep. Praise God. Your faculties were asleep. Your soul was asleep. You weren't dead. You were still alive, but your mind was not functioning. So therefore, it was only your spirit that was functioning and giving you dreams. And you were dreaming of all this glorious thing. Praise God. Thank you. So, here we are, the mind of Jesus. And there was a veil between the mind and the spirit, a veil between it. But little by little, this veil began to tear. You remember the scripture said the veil of the temple rent in twain? Well, it got a tear there. And some of what is in here begin to creep over in here, and the soul begins to wake. So the mind begin to wake. And the first thing the mind says is, how come I'm in a pigsty? How come my companions are housed? Grunting all around me. What kind of food is this? I've been feeding on, the Bible says, the husk. You ever keep pigs? You'll give them all what everybody has done for. And the pigs just delight in it. Well, this fella woke up. Just woke up all of a sudden. He wasn't sleeping naturally, but his mind was asleep. And all of a sudden he saw that he was in a pigsty. And then he said, I will arise. That's still dreaming, you know, in his mind. He rehearsed his speech. I wouldn't doubt if he didn't write it down, what he's going to say to his father. And he said, Lord, make me one of thy servants. All I want to be is a servant boy. Why? Something happened in his mind. He awoke to the reality of God. And he saw, for the first time in his life, he saw things in their true perspective. I said, my God, I am not even worthy. You know, one of the things that blessed me with the book that Dr. Ritchie wrote, that he said he saw this great light come before him and stand up. And when he looked, it was a man, and it was Jesus. And the moment he saw Jesus, he saw all his sins. And he said, oh my God, I am worthy of hell. He said, I'm worthy to go to hell. He said, I have done this and I've done that. And he saw all his life before him, and he condemned himself. And Jesus shook his head and said, I do not condemn you. Praise be to God. The moment a man sees Jesus, he sees himself. We were talking just recently of the how easily you can know the man that sees Jesus or the woman that sees Jesus. I have seen men go up to the altar, and oh, they are so, you know, bold, and they feel so mighty and powerful. No, I am the boss here. One brother got up on Sunday morning before the conference. He said, I want everybody to know that I am the boss here. I'm the man in charge here. I am the pastor here. Of course, if you know a little psychology, you will know that he's psyching up himself. That there is some doubt here. But when you see that, there's first thing you know. Oh God, he has not seen Jesus. You know how you feel when you see Jesus? I don't know if everybody feels that way. That's the point. I have never felt what you feel, so I don't know how you feel. But I know when you see Jesus, you just feel like you would dig down in the ground and hide your head. It's a feeling that you feel so small and so wretched to this mighty God. humbles you. Where did pride come from amongst us? We who have seen Jesus must know that we, if God would make us a servant, that would be the greatest honor. If we could just serve you, right? Just serve one another. I'm not talking now about being the servant of God and preaching the message. I don't know what I mean, sir. I mean, come to your house and cut your yard. I mean, wash your feet. I mean, take care of you. I mean, just make you be happy so that you might know my Jesus. Don't you understand the feeling? The feeling is that you would do anything to bless God's people. Amen. You would humble your soul in every way just to lift up God's people and to see God's people prosperous and praising God and walking in truth and every man and every woman walking in your place in God and growing in stature. Praise be to God. Arise, he said. Put on strength. Amen. Arise. If you don't arise, Lord, when are you going to arise? What are you waiting for? You know. Praise be to God. Put the alarm clock and it's alarmed 3 times and you're still sleeping. I'm talking about myself now. Put on 3 alarms this morning and I shake my head at 5:45. Shake my head at 6:00. Shake again at 6:10. The thing alarmed 3 times. Maybe say you're not getting up. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. There is a cry in the earth. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon. It's just calling to me. Let's get it. Song of Solomon's. There is a cry in the earth. Time to get up. It's time to get up. Where is it said now? Chapter 2. Rise up, my love. Verse 10, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away with me. I wonder if you really hear that in your soul. I want nothing more but Jesus. There's a thing that's ringing inside of you. Nothing more but Jesus. Yeah. Nothing more but Jesus. And all the things that you'd want in life, you wanted, that were pulling you, that were hurting you, that tied you up, you just find they're dropping off one by one because it's only Jesus that really matters. My God, if I should lose, what would I do? If Jesus Christ should come tonight and descend suddenly, because it's going to happen suddenly, you know, if he should come and descend suddenly in his church, and tomorrow morning when I wake up, I find out that God is completely like Jesus Christ. And that I have made it. What kind of condition would I be in? Don't you understand what I'm talking about? This is what is about to happen. And it's going to happen suddenly. And we do not know when it's midnight. We really don't know. Moses knew when it was midnight. He knew when it was midnight. And the people waited for midnight to pass. And God hid them during the midnight. But we don't know when it's midnight. We will hear the cry and we'll hear the pain, but then it may be too late. You see, so because of this, God says, be ye also ready. Lo, he says,
For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. See, my winter, your winter is past. In other words, what we are saying, the time when we were cold and dead and without life, like snow up on the ground, kill everything around. That time is past and gone. God said, be careful that this your flight be not in the winter. God said, get up into the mountains, and he said, be careful that your flight be not in the winter. Be careful that when God says to you, get up in the mountains, says, when ye shall see the abomination of desolation, stand up in the holy place. Then he said, get up into the mountain. Okay, you see the abomination of desolation. Standing up. You see, you know it's time to run up into the mountain. But you are dead and cold. It's winter, you can't move. Ice is on the ground, you have no traction, you can't move. This is what God's talking about. So he says, when, and you are not cold feet, and all around you is ice and cold, and impossible to travel, because you're going to have to get up into the mountain, and it may be a hard climb. Put down everything that holds you down. Go before God tonight and say, God, if there's something in my life holding me back, I want you to remove it. It's no joke. It will be terrible sometimes. Sometimes it's something you love. Something you hold on to. God, remove it. Remove whatever is holding me back in life. And let me get up into the mountain. Said, arise, rise, my beloved's faith, verse 11, 12, the flowers appear on the earth. You see other people blooming. You look around you, you see life coming forth from the earth. The time of the singing of the birds is come. You know, your Bible has off birds in italics. Your Bible has it in italics. It means that it was not in the Bible. It's only understood. Some words are just understood. The words are not there. But isn't it beautiful to read it without that? The time of this singing. Not on the bird. The time of the singing is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. Everything that belongs to God is crying out. You hear me? We see the signs all around us. People come there, nobody told them to leave their church, they left their church and they don't know where to go. They don't have anywhere to go, but they just had to leave, because the Spirit of God is leading the people out. Hallelujah. There's going to be a great revival, but it's going to be in a great trouble. And the only people who will be able to help one another are those who stand firm in God.
Amen.
For everything you have will be stripped from you. Those who love money, those who have their minds on goods and money, God help you. I heard in the last depression we had, men were jumping off the highest buildings and killing themselves. All the money men, when they saw their empire falling and nothing left, they were killing themselves. God is saying, speaking to us tonight. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. You see, the theme is arise, my love, and come away. Because if you rise and you don't come to God, you're in trouble. I have known many men who repented and never completed their repentance. And that happened to us too. Us here, we have to be careful. If you have a problem in your life, and that problem hurt you and shame you, and you hate it,
and you turn away from it, make sure that you fill the bathroom in your life with God. You understand? Because whatever caused the problem is going to come back again if you don't fill that place with God. Amen. I knew of a young man who was in trouble, spiritual trouble and natural trouble. And he could not keep righteous in the way he was living. And he turned to God with great weeping and crying and prayer and fasting. And God said, I will set you free, but get married. Definitely. God said, I'll set you free, but get married. God delivered him and God gave him a wife, same father. It's a prop to help him to be able to stand up. For he had been damaged, you see. If a man get hurt in his leg and he can't walk, he get himself a crutch under his arm. And after a while, he might be able to walk. But the crutch took the weight off while he was yet ill. And so God is speaking to us tonight to arise. Get up. How do you get up? How do you get up? By faith, believe God, and pray, and get up. It's as simple as all that. Oh, don't let anybody tell you you've come to a casting out or a deliverance. Oh, I hate the word. It's not really deliverance. You come to a deliverance, and so they say, you're going to just make everybody perfect, and you're going to zap you, and everybody vomit up and go home feeling good. We made it. Oh, yeah. But vomit and belch and everything else, and get rid of all spirits and go home. That cop out. Oh yeah, cop out. I don't say you can't get rid of spirits. I don't say you can't vomit. But in time to bring it into a doctrine, the devil sit down and they laugh. Here they come again. And the devils gather around. And those who want to vomit, the devil tells them to vomit. Oh yeah. You believe you're going to vomit up a spirit? He'll help you to vomit and make you believe the Spirit is God. And he next tomorrow you come back, the same thing happens, you vomit again. Have you ever been around these things? Yeah. It happened, I see, one time a certain brother had a hotel room. They generally have meetings in hotels, they give you a big hall and piano and everything. And people were gathered there. And they were so expectant, waiting for this brother just to come speak the word for them to vomit, that the brother just walked up the aisle, and by the time he walked and reached the platform, the whole floor was completely contaminated with vomit. Everybody just let loose. They didn't wait on him to command and to call out the spirit. Amen. Praise be to God. That doesn't sound nice. Let's go back to something sounding better. Arise, my love, my fair one, come away. Oh, my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. God is speaking to those who are hiding in the earth, in dark places. Come up, he said. By faith you start to believe God. You know, the faith message, we cannot go against it. You can't get up and say, that brother is preaching a false doctrine because he's preaching faith. Because the word is preaching the truth. The only problem is that it's a carnal thing to carnal people. And the carnal people will take it and operate it carnally. Now, if you have faith to get a Cadillac, probably you need one. If you have faith to get a Cadillac, should that same faith tell you, well, I could ask God for something else, for something spiritual? Huh? Let me ask him to make me perfect tonight.
Amen. Let me ask him, does that mean with some power that I get delivered from my little hang-ups? Let me ask him to get me rid of my temper immediately. Oh yeah, immediately. And any time, I tell you something, God said faith is the substance. Anytime you have the faith to ask of God his name, don't ask unless you feel it in here that when I ask, I'm going to get it. You understand? Don't ask until when you ask, it's going to be done. The substance, you feel the substance in here. And you say, I got it. Arise. Many of us want to see our husbands arise. Many wives want to see their husbands arise. They worry so much about their husband arising that they lie down still and never rise. In other words, to get somebody else to rise is for you to arise. You know, Jesus said that when you get into a certain place in the Spirit, anything you ask God, it will be done. Did you know that? Now, where's that scripture about it? Where's that scripture? It's in Matthew. It says, in that day, John, let's find it. Yeah, we're all going to find something. He said, in that day, whatsoever ye shall ask shall be done. And what day was he talking about? So was it, is it John? It's in John, is it? You said John 15? Read that for me. I find it here and somewhere else.
And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
What's the context? Is that where? 14? You said 13?
Yeah.
If I say
read from 12.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
All right. Go ahead.
If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
You see, what you said in that day.
16:26.
That's right. That's the one I was thinking to read. Read from from 22. What do you have? Let's hear it if it's a little better. All right.
And in that day you will ask me no question. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you shall ask the Father for anything, he will give it to you in my name. Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be made full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language. An hour is coming when I will speak no more to you in figurative language, but will tell you plainly of the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I will not say to you that I will request the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I have come forth from the Father.
Yeah, well, praise God. If you see, the gist of what I'm driving at here is right here. That if you, in that day, you see, in the day when you can believe me, he said. It's because you're righteous and holy and I've done this and I've done that and I've said so many prayers and I've prayed for 1 hour or 2 hours. You see what I mean? Those were the things that people do in religion. And I'm just praying to God that we may not be religious. We're begging God to strip us of the religiousness, religiosity. See what I mean? You go to your food and you pray over it because you're religious. But you can pray over it because you really believe that a blessing is being put upon that food and every germ is destroyed. See what I'm saying?
it's a difference. It's a real difference. I went to India and we were just saying, you know, Lord, thank you for this food and praise God, amen. You see, in America we don't have to worry too much because the food is well, properly, hygiene, you know, cared and clean. But over there, things is covered with all different kinds of bacteria and germs. And we just said, and I noticed that any time I don't really concentrate and say, Jesus Christ, touch the food and believe it in my heart, that I get hurt. The water will hurt, but the food will hurt. Otherwise, we pray over it with a genuine prayer and curse that down, that germinate, eat it. And God said, you can't eat that way, don't eat at all. But it's something that God is requiring from us, that we must believe. Once you believe, he says, all things are possible to him that believeth. And let me tell you a secret. There is no limit. The only limit is that something we cannot believe. It will be hard for you, Brother Ron, to believe that you could fly up in the ceiling right now and fly around the room. Because you have no motive. You understand? He got to have intent. But if someone came and tied you up and put you in a prison or a cupboard, you'd have enough incentive to believe that God will take you up. So you have to have the basic form of the faith that all things, with God all things are possible, and that God will do all things for you, and that by faith you can rise up. This is what the rising up is. It's going to take a people of faith to overcome what's going to happen in the world around us here. Don't you understand? And you have the faith. It's not that you don't have it. You have to use it. And by using it, God means to really believe that that faith will work. I believe some of you have some things to say. I'm just going to take my seat and let you get up and just talk as the Lord wants you to. Praise be to God, because this is a very, very important point and we should really talk about it. Just to believe, and God will make you righteous. Lord God, I'm not righteous. I've not been able to keep walking under the Holy Ghost leadership, but I am going to trust you to make me walk as you would have me to walk. Man, life things start happening around you. Oh yes, if you believe it, God will make you walk. Oh yes. Well, God bless you. As I say, I'm going to sit down and let somebody else as the Lord leads. There is a little nugget in your heart. Just let's start to talk about this faith thing and how we're going to become holy and perfected through believing God.